Welcome to the studio, Mark Tertulli. He is running for, I have it here, you're running for president of the town of Normal. Did you realize that? Because we're always referring to you as a mayoral candidate.
Yeah, the official title is the president of the Board of Trustees. I had to make sure I could squeeze all that in on the tiny line they had on the petition sheets.
All right, we are just a little over a week away from Election Day. Mm-hmm. How long has it been for you? How long is the campaign? When did you announce?
I announced right around Thanksgiving, but it began a long time before that. I mean, we picked up packets at the end of August, and even before that, I spent a couple months considering whether I was going to be running in the first place. So it's been quite a while.
We're going to get to know Mark Tertulli here in a second, but any surprises? Did you go into this? Were you a little naive going into it, or is what has transpired pretty much what you expected?
I think the biggest surprise in all of this was how energizing it was to be out going door to door talking with the community. I remember when I was on the drive, there were a couple times someone would say, man, I can't believe they make you do this, that you got to get out here and knock on all these doors. And I really found it energizing. I did. It was great to hear what people were thinking, what their concerns were. And if there was a day where I was saying, man, I know I got to get 10 signatures today, but I'm not feeling it, I'd get out there. And by the time I was done, I felt a whole lot better.
When you think about it, that is old school. That is something that we have done in politics forever, literally going door to door. And now, in this age we live in now, it just seems so archaic. We don't want to answer the telephones. How do you find when you ring a doorbell or knock on a door? Are people willing to open the door?
Most are.
Yeah.
Most are. There's the occasional, you know, I don't want whatever you're selling. Goodbye.
Right.
Most people will come to the door. They'll listen politely. They'll give you a minute. And what I found, especially in the petition process, was that even folks who didn't agree or had already made up their mind were willing to say, you know, it's good that people run. It's good that we have competition out there. So absolutely, I'll sign. I won't vote for you, but that's great. And then, of course, there were a lot of people who were really enthustic, supportive as well.
So. All right. Well, we won't call it the elevator speech. Give me your door speech, your front door speech.
Okay. Hi, I'm Mark Tertulli. I'm running for mayor in Normal. Our town is $94 million in debt. We owe $53 million on top of that. And we're short in our pensions by $109 million. That's $250 million that we owe on top of running the town. That's all been accumulated under the last 14 years, and I'm looking to change that. We've got a plan to reprioritize our finances. We could roll back some of the tax increases we've had and still increase our payments on our debt and our pensions. It's just a question of putting our money in the right place.
See, and I'm saying, well, that sounds like a typical politician. They're going to lower taxes and give me more.
Yeah.
How are you going to pull it off? Let's start with, because I know you have everybody's got a concern with roads.
Right.
All right, let's talk about the roads in Normal. We're not talking the state routes. We're just talking city streets, obviously.
Right. Well, there was something surprising in the budget. The last couple of years, we've been in a couple of $1 million range. Last year, we spent $2.8 million on street resurfacing. This year's budget is only $600,000. So there's clearly room for improvement.
Are they done then?
No, they're not done at all.
They're not done with the streets?
It was interesting. Last year's budget meeting, so just a little over a year ago, council hadn't seen too much of me before. Mayor Coos came up to me afterwards, introduced himself, and we talked about the roads a little bit. He said, well, I could triple what we spend on roads. And my question was simply, why don't you? They would throw rose petals at your feet. You know, there's clearly a lot that needs to be done out there. So how do you do that?
Oh, wait a minute. Did he give you an answer to that?
No, unfortunately.
All right. Well, hopefully we're going to have him in. I'll ask him.
To get at the question of how do we do that, again, it's a question of priority. So we had the sales tax increase last year, 1% sales tax increase. That brought in over $6 million, and they're spending it on a variety of projects. Now, some of those are $600,000 to acquire property south of the tracks. There's $100,000 for an uptown traffic study. We are spending $750,000 just this year on the underpass study. So there's money available. It's just a question of where do we want to spend it.
So I take it you are not a big fan of the 1-point-something million study to go over the railroad tracks or under the railroad tracks.
No, I'm not. I actually spoke at that council meeting, and the reason was there was already a project lined up to go over the tracks. It was a fairly utilitarian pedestrian overpass to get people from one platform to the other, but it was largely grant funded by state and federal dollars. The town would have committed about $120,000 to this $7 or $8 million project, and the contractors were getting lined up, and the project was ready to go and break ground last March, and then it was waived off at the last minute by the council to see, could we do a bigger, grander project? We'd have to apply for a much bigger grant. And in order to get that much bigger grant, we need a big phase one study that the town would have to foot the bill for. So, no, I was not in favor of the study.
Can you endorse any kind of crossing? Do you need one? Does the town of Normal need a crossing there where they're proposing this?
In the strictest
sense, you're going to have to spend millions one way or the other.
In the strictest sense, do we need one? I think the answer is no. First of all, we're not even sure how much traffic, if any, is going to go to the south platform. We've never gotten a definitive answer.
Nobody studied that? We need to propose a study for that.
And there is a switch up the line, so why they couldn't just switch all the trains to the north track is a bit of a mystery. But even so, if you're on the platform, our platform is 660 feet long. So if you wound up at the very back of the platform, worst possible scenario is that you'd walk all the way to the end over to Fell. You'd cross on our ADA-compliant crossing, and you'd come back about 50 feet to the south platform, total trip of about 700 to 800 feet. If you ride that train to Chicago, the platform's over 1,200 feet long, so you could get off at the back of the train and walk even further once you get to the destination.
We're talking with Mark Tortelli. He's running for the mayor of the town of Normal. Election day is 1 week from tomorrow. Let's talk about something that everyone's talking about, and that is the city, and I won't reuse the phrase writing checks to lure businesses into town, but they are offering tax breaks and tax incentives. Mm-hmm. What's your take on that? We'll just use Portillo's as an example. I think they've got $1 million+.
Right. The idea is that they'll get a rebate on $1.875 million in sales tax. However, the deal also requires that we pay 8% interest on that amount as long as it hasn't been fully paid off.
8% interest on?
On our own money.
Well, that doesn't make any sense to me. But.
So the total amount, if it's paid on schedule over 5 years, would be about $2.5 million. Now, they're funding that through sales tax rebate, which is 5.5% when you look at the actual sales tax and the food and beverage tax. So in order to get the $2.5 million we would owe to Tartan, it's not actually going to Portillo's, it's going to Tartan Development, we would have to sell about $40 to $45 million worth of food product from Portillo's.
Oh, that's a busy weekend.
That is a busy weekend. Their biggest sales figures are $8 million a year. We're expecting about six from this place. And even then, even if we did that and said, okay, so after 6 years it's paid back, that's not new money that would have been generated. Okay, a lot of that is going to be sales that would have occurred at Red Robin, Red Lobster, any other red restaurants that might be out there. There will be some probably new business, but certainly not $40 million. So in effect, we're giving up about $2 million worth of our sales tax over the course of this deal. And when you give incentives like that, you put yourself so far in the hole to start that you're just not going to really see an advantage. And on top of that, we lost the revenue from the hotel.
Are you against any incentives to lure business into town? Because listening to the politicians, the mayors, the council people, that's the way business is done nowadays. You're competing with other communities. I'm not talking about Normal competing with Bloomington. I'm talking about Bloomington Normal competing with Joliet, Champaign, mm-hmm. Peoria.
Yeah. It's interesting. That very phrase was used. That's just how it's done these days in the Portillo's meeting. And at the time, they were saying, we have to do this before somebody else gets it so we can be the destination. They didn't even know that Champaign already had it without the incentives. So it is possible to do these deals without them. And it sounds so enticing. It really does. You know, would Portillo's be an asset? Great. I'm looking forward to them. I love Portillo's product. It's just the way you do the deal puts you in such a hole that it's really not worth it, and you kind of have to say no.
So if you would have said to Portillo's, sorry, take your business, take your hot dog stand somewhere else.
Somewhere else. Hopefully, you know, up the street across Fort Jesse, where we have all the open lots at Menards, that would have been a great location. You know, people were saying they're going to come from all over the Midwest, so you really can't say they won't cross Fort Jesse Road to get to Portillo's. So there were a lot of other locations. It's not that I didn't want them in town. It's just not this way. It's just too expensive.
Well, let's talk about a different scenario, the Rivian deal.
Mm-hmm.
Incentives built there for them to get their $1 million. They have to have so many employees by this year, so many by next,
right,
and next, and next. How do you like the way that was structured?
Again, a lot of this is in the details. There was something really upsetting to me about the Rivian deal in that they put the school district's money on the line here. So there's a few moving pieces to this. When Mr. Scaringe was in the meeting in December and Scott Preston asked him, so what do these incentives do for you? How are they going to help you? And the CEO of Rivian said, they don't help us in any way to buy the plant. We're going to pay cash. I found that kind of astonishing. So this was really just kind of throwing money at them. They wound up getting $49.5 million from the state. So our $2 million is kind of insignificant in comparison. But what really hurts about that is that we're abating their property tax. So if they meet their targets, they don't have to pay the property tax. So the town doesn't get their money. Unit 5 doesn't get their money. Heartland doesn't. Unit 5 bears the brunt of that. So they lose about $390,000 a year in this deal, if it's successful, which to me sounds a little crazy. The real problem is that they're not going to get value from Rivian's success. So if Rivian can produce a few hundred jobs and get a plant going, that's great. That's going to provide a little more economic activity in town. The town will get some sales tax benefits. Sure. And we all hope Rivian is successful. But the property value isn't really going to go up. The property value is based on the land. It's based on the structure. It doesn't matter if you're making bubblegum inside, self-driving electric cars, or if you just got a bunch of servers and you're a Facebook-type company hitting it big. The property value is going to stay the same. So as Rivian succeeds, they don't pay their taxes and the school district doesn't get any added value.
You could look at it like this. Well, I'll just play devil's advocate because I don't know how long you've been around, but when Mitsubishi, mm-hmm. when they came here as Diamond Star Motors, there was a whole lot of people against them coming in. It was going to be bad for the community. It was going to be bad for the economy. And they were offered incentives, too, through the state and mm-hmm. And local. But it created a lot of jobs.
It sure did.
And with those jobs, now they're gone now, but with those jobs brought in a lot of new homeowners, a lot more in property taxes, a lot more people spending money at Portillo's or what have
yep.
you. So couldn't the argument against what you just said is it's more than just property taxes from that land. It's looking ahead to seeing the future and maybe this robust business will take off and create a lot more jobs.
Yeah. And we certainly hope that it does. And there's a couple of things that you could talk about on that. One of them is that, again, as I said, a lot of the problems that I see, a lot of the things I get frustrated with are the way it's done. It's not so much that the deal is taking place, it's the details. So as an alternative, the town could have said, instead of abating your taxes, we'll rebate them. So Rivian, go ahead and pay your property tax bill. We'll let the library, the fire department, the sewer district, schools get their money, and the town will pick up the tab. Now, that would have put Town of Normal on the hook for more money, but the Town of Normal is going to get the benefit down the road, and they would have only had to go through one board. The other approach to that is, you know, it's hard to see into the future. And if the plant had gotten torn down, it's a possibility that could have been parceled out. And in the future, 10, 20, 30 years from now, it could have been greater than it would be as a single unit. It could have turned into an industrial park. Multiple developments could have taken place, even some housing. And in aggregate, yeah, it would have sat, you know, at a lower value for a while, but eventually it might have even surpassed what it's going to become. So we don't know. We just don't know what the future holds.
Talking with Mark Turritilli, running for mayor of Town of Normal. Election day is 1 week from tomorrow. How long have you been in town? Twin Cities?
On and off. Came down here the first time in 1997. I had been working in industry, doing maintenance and repair, electrical work, and wanted to transition into teaching. My father had been a teacher at Taft High School in Chicago for virtually all of his career. I'd worked with high schoolers ever since I was one, and somewhere along the way decided I wanted to have more of an impact directly on people. So came down here. If you're going to be a teacher, you go to ISU. Got my degree in mathematics and started teaching out in Tremont. Met my wife down here. We got married. In 2004, we moved to Danvers, and I served on the town council out there for a while. I was on the volunteer fire squad. Really enjoyed that. And then we moved out to Philadelphia. We had our first daughter, and My wife really wanted to stay at home, and unfortunately, on a teaching salary, I just couldn't make that work around here. We thought about going back into maintenance and repair, but realized that teaching was the calling. So we went to Philadelphia out there for 5 years and decided it ultimately wasn't where we wanted to be. We thought we could go anywhere, and we wanted to come back here. So we moved back to Bloomington Normal a few years ago.
You're currently teaching.
Yes.
All right. Now, can you handle teaching and being the mayor of the town of Normal and handling all that? Because it takes a lot of time. And it is a, I'm using air quotes there, a part-time job.
Yes.
And teaching, we hear all the time, you guys, the hours you guys keep are crazy.
It is a challenge. And that is the very first thing that I looked at. So when I said I spent a couple of months considering whether this was possible, that was the big question. If I'm going to do this, can I do my job well as a teacher? Could I do the job well as a mayor? Can I be a good father and maintain a good, healthy family life? So one of the first things we did is look at the mayor's calendar. I did a FOIA request and got an entire year's worth of how much time it took. We looked at the pay. The mayor earns $18,000, and that, you know, in round terms, that's
well, that's
about,
not why you're running.
No, not, that's not why I'm running. In round terms, that's about a 10-hour-a-week commitment. So I can tell you campaigning is certainly a full-time job in and of itself, and we've been able to manage both of those. So Bloomington gets out fairly early. We're done at 2:15. I'm technically done there at 2:30. There's time to run over to City Hall for a couple hours each day. Certainly I have the summers off. So we looked at this very carefully, talked to a lot of people, and realized, yes, it can be done and done quite well.
You're not worried about if you win, you're going to say goodbye to your wife and kids on April 5th?
No.
All right. Well, it's time consuming, I know. But, yeah, you've been through the rigors of the campaign. And what have you learned? I always like to ask somebody who's run for office like this, what have you learned? Have you learned anything out of the experience?
Yeah, there are quite a few things. This is my first real full-scale political campaign. And once you learn all those things, you realize, wow, I could go consult for somebody else if I wanted to next time. One of the big things is that, you know, there is a lot of rules associated with this, a lot of very precise things that need to be followed in terms of schedules, in terms of how you present petitions, in terms of rules with financing. So when my students had asked, you know, do I really have to follow these directions? I said, yes, you do. Let me tell you a little story about what life is like out there.
All right. And if you become the next mayor of the town of Normal, do you have any kind of relationship with the mayor of Bloomington?
Terry Renner in particular, no. I've shaken his hands a couple times. He came to our staff kickoff at Bloomington High School. But beyond that, I really haven't met him or talked to him.
And there's no guarantee that he'll be mayor.
That's true.
Kevin Lauer, do you know him at all?
I've talked to him out there as well. Just on the campaign trail, it's kind of like a road show. We keep seeing each other at all the events, Kiwanis Days and parades and things like that. But I'm open to talking with anybody.
All right. And Donald Trump learned a lesson here Friday. And you are running, you want to lower taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking about rescinding the tax increases that we saw in the last year or so with the 1% sales tax increase? Would you leave those be?
The 1% sales tax increase would be hard to just eliminate in one fell swoop. A quarter of that, and this was the original impetus for it, was to help support the new county jail mental health facility. And I think that is a worthwhile endeavor. A lot of the other spending that's going on is discretionary. Some could make a case that it's even unnecessary. So I think a prudent plan on that would be to try and reduce it 0.25% per year over the next few years. And that gives us time to adjust and plan and make those changes so that they don't have a significant impact on
the programs. Do you have any relationships with the people on the city board or the city council? Because those are the ones ultimately that are going to vote. I mean, they're the ones that voted for the tax increase.
Yes.
How do you convince them they need to go the other way now?
We've talked a few times. I've sent some emails. A couple of them I've talked at length with. Some of them, you know, we've shaken hands with a few times. We certainly know each other by name. I'm looking forward to working with the council. That's That's how things ought to be.
All right. A million questions, not enough time. You've got a website that answers a lot of the questions people may have of you. And what's that website?
That's markformayor.com, M-A-R-C for mayor, F-O-R. I also have a Facebook page, and you can follow us there.
All right, Mark Turritilli, good luck for the rest of the, 8 days on the campaign trail, as they say.
Yes,
and we encourage people to get out and vote, Town of Normal, City of Bloomington, and points in between and all around the area. Good meeting you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.